Turn our Bibles over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, we're going to read verses 13 through 17. James 4, 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach your word today. Lord, we thank you for your care over us in this past year as we say goodbye to 2018 and hello to 2019. We rejoice in your blessings of the last year and your goodness to us. And we look forward, Lord, to what you have for us here in the future, Lord. Lord, you are good. You're a good God, and you love us. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And so, Lord, we pray that that will be so in 2019. Lord, help us to be humble, and as Brother Alex preached today, be small in our own eyes in this new year, we pray, so that you can use us, Lord. We want to be used by you. We thank you for it. Speak to our hearts now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we look ahead to the new year, we look back to the last year, we see that maybe this last year had some difficulties in it. I think it did for a lot of us. But at the same time, we also see that God's hand was at work in our midst. I don't think we can deny that. I often wonder, you know, as we get ready to start a new year, I often wonder what it'll be like at the end of 2019 as we get ready to, if the Lord tarries, if we, you know, as we get ready to usher in the new year, 2020, and what will we see as we look back on 2019? I think that's a sobering thought. A lot of things that will happen in 2019, of course, will be by God's hand. But God also does give us choices to make. Sometimes we make good choices, sometimes we make bad choices. I hope we'll make good choices in 2019 so that God can bless us. But we don't want to spend too much time looking back. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So what is that mark that we press toward in 2019? Well, it is to obey the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, whatever that may be. James chapter 4 speaks about looking ahead and planning for the next year. We see that in verse 13 of our text. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year. And The idea here is looking ahead to the new year and making plans for the new year. What will we plan? What will we do in 2019? The question comes in verse 14, the middle of the verse there. It says, "For what is your life?" And I guess that would be the title of the message today, "For what is your life?" We need to kind of stop once in a while and take inventory and just consider what our life is. And I think that's what one of the things that we'll see here today as we look through this passage in James 4. The answer to that question might seem to us rather astonishing. It could be very sobering and even depressing if we would allow it to be. But it's a reality thing. To jerk us into what reality is. James is addressing businessmen here as he speaks here in these verses because he says these businessmen are going to go and buy and sell and get gain for a year. And so we could certainly apply this in that way if we look ahead to the next year and what we are going to do financially and try and, you know, make a living, try to make some money next year and better ourselves financially in the next year. We could look at it that way. But I think there's more to it than that as far as application is concerned. I think we could apply this in other areas as well, other areas of profit, not only material profit, but profit maybe for our families, profit for family goals, for example. Maybe you are thinking about your plans for homeschooling the kids in 2019, and you want to have a better homeschooling program for your kids. Maybe you want to improve your family devotion time in 2019. That would be a profit for your family, certainly, spiritual profit for your family. Or maybe you want to spend a little more time training your little ones, do a little bit better job of training your little ones in 2019, and that would be certainly a worthy thing to do and would result in profit for your family. Maybe it is financial management. Maybe you've had some struggles with financial management and you need to do better in 2019. Whatever it is, I think we can apply this in many different ways. Maybe it's Christian service. What are you going to do for the Lord in 2019? What are your endeavors and your plans for serving the Lord in 2019? You're going to turn a profit for eternity in 2019. So I think it can be applied that way. I think it could also be applied as personal decisions or personal resolutions, if you please, New Year's resolutions, to do some things different in your life in the next year and do better in the next year. And those are all good things. You're making plans, perhaps, in many of those areas that you might be able to, so to speak, turn a profit in your life in 2019. Now, as we look at this dissect these verses today, we're going to look at each verse. Each verse has with it a main thought, and so there are five verses there. We'll have five main thoughts to the message today. The first thing we see in verse 13, we see a foolish boast, a foolish boast. And so he says, James says to these businessmen, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." So these businessmen are boasting of a plan for the next year. They are boasting about a time when they're going to go do this. They say today or tomorrow. They're boasting about a place where they're going to go to make this profit in such a city. Maybe if we put this in modern day terms, we might think, well, somebody's going to go to New York City and go to Wall Street and get rich on Wall Street, huh, for a year. Or maybe somebody's going to go to D.L. Moody. Now, we'll see this in the video tomorrow, but D.L. Moody, he went to Chicago, he called it. You know, that's how he said it, Chicago. Called it Chicago Town. And he was going to go to Chicago Town and make a fortune. And he was going to make $100,000. Of course, that was a lot of money back in those days. And that was his goal. He had a plan to go there and turn a profit. There was a certain duration that they were planning to go for. They were going to go for a year. They were going to do this for a whole year in this city where they were going to go. They had a plan for what they were going to do. They were going to buy and sell in this city. And then they had a plan for their success that they were going to have in this city. They were going to get a profit, turn a profit. They're going to get rich during this year's time. So they were boasting of a plan that they had. Now, there's nothing wrong with making plans. In fact, we ought to make plans. A smart businessman will certainly make plans. Anybody ought to make plans for the future. We ought to plan ahead. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 6, we see the illustration of the ant, don't we? Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. So she's planning ahead for the coming season. And certainly we ought to be planning ahead. Somebody said, plan ahead. It was not raining when Noah built the ark. And certainly there's nothing wrong with planning ahead. God wants us to plan. He wants us to make plans. But the problem here was not that they were making plans. The problem here is that they were leaving God out of the plans, you see. That's the big problem. They left God out of the plans, left God out of his dreams. They left God out of their goals. I used to dream about moving to a remote island. I have this tendency that I've always had to want to be a hermit. You say, why would anybody want to be a hermit? Well, I don't know. I wanted to be a hermit. I wanted my family with me, but that was it, you know. And I want everybody to just leave me alone. I'd leave them alone, and everything was going to be fine. So it was either a remote island or maybe some remote place in Alaska. In fact, Tyler and you remember that, not just Tyler. Tyler and Rick went to Alaska to scout that out. And their potatoes all froze, and they had to come back and decide Alaska was not good, right? If you can't have potatoes in Alaska, you can't live in Alaska. So they all got hard as a rock. Well, anyway, I never found an island, never moved to Alaska. The closest thing I could do is build a house on the other side of the creek, you know? And so we did that. But anyway, I had a dream about being a hermit. Well, God had other plans, you see. As you can see, I'm standing up here today in the pulpit preaching to you, and I'm not alone, and I'm not off on some remote island all hunkered down for the rest of my life. That didn't happen. God had other plans, you see. See, my plans and my dreams weren't necessarily what God's plans and God's dreams were for me. Well, as I said a minute ago, Moody had a goal. He wanted to earn $100,000 by going to Chicago Town. But God had different plans for him too. You know, if we leave God out of our plans and our dreams and our goals, we also will leave God out of our successes. And then who gets the praise? We get the praise instead of God, you see. So the problem here was not that they made plans. The problem here is that they left God out of their plans. Warren Worsby writes about Hudson Taylor here, and he says Hudson Taylor had definite convictions about how God's work should be done. We can make our best plans and try to carry them out in our own strength, or we can make careful plans and ask God to bless them. But Hudson Taylor wrote this. He said, "Yet another way of working is to begin with God, to ask His plans, and to offer ourselves to Him to carry out His purposes." A lot better way to do it. Jesus spoke about a man who made plans in a parable, and Luke, a rich man who made plans, in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. And he says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" Okay, now he's got to make a plan, doesn't he? "And he said, This will I do." He's making a plan. "I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid down for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." So he's got a plan. He left God out of his plans. The success in his plans was to take his ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Well, that's not a very good goal, is it? And then in verse 20 it says, "And God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." So we want to make sure that we don't leave God out of our plans in 2019. We should begin, as Hudson Taylor says, with God. We should ask his plans for us and offer ourselves to him to carry out his purposes. Secondly, we see in verse 14 a sober reminder. First of all, we have a foolish boast, and then we have in verse 14 a sober reminder. And so it says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And we see in that, we see first of all the uncertainty of life. Life is very uncertain. You know not what shall be on the morrow. There are no guarantees about tomorrow. A family in Cameroon, a missionary family, as we know, the Wesco family. One day, the wife and I think the oldest son, I'm not sure, and the father were driving along. And suddenly a bullet took out their beloved husband and father. Charles Wesco was dead. He had plans, I'm sure. His family had plans for the mission field. But suddenly, plans ended. Life is uncertain. We all remember Dale Begay, or some of us, most of us do anyway. Begays were good friends. I used to go to our church. Del Pagay, one day he went out for a walk. Never came back. They found his body slumped alongside the road. Died of a heart attack. You never know. He was in his 60s. He wasn't a real old guy. Never know. There are no guarantees about tomorrow. There may be a phone call or a knock on the door that will change your life forever. On November 5th, 2017, in Sutherland Springs, Texas, 26 people, as well as others, went to church at First Baptist Church. 26 people who certainly had plans for Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, following week, and probably for the rest of their lives. But November 5th, 2017, was the end of their life. They didn't expect that. A gunman came in and killed 26 of the congregation that day. You never know. Life is uncertain. Life is also brief. It says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. A vapor. What is a vapor? You know how the kids sometimes they'll find they'll go to a cold window and they'll blow their breath on the window, and then they'll write something on the, you know, or draw a picture or something in the vapor on the window. But how long did that last? Seconds, maybe a minute. It's gone. That's an illustration of what our life is like. The brevity of life doesn't last very long. Most of us have visited cemeteries sometime or another, and there's something pretty common on almost all the tombstones. You'll see two dates. You'll see a birth date, and you'll see a death date. But in between, you'll see a little dash. That's about all our life amounts to. It's just a little dash. Yeah? Think about that. I said this could be depressing. I don't want to depress you, but I want us to see the reality of how fleeting life really is. Henry Twells in 1901 wrote this poem. He said, when as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I waxed more bold, time strolled. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still I daily grew, time flew. Soon I shall find in passing on, time gone. O Christ, wilt thou have saved me then? I still think of myself as a teenager. Until I look in the mirror. And then reality sets in. When at about 10 years of age, I thought I would never be a teenager. Seemed like so far away. At 16, I longed for adulthood when I could make my own decisions. At 25, I stopped wanting to be older, rather enjoying the strength of youth. At 35, I wondered what happened to the years. At 45, I remember being just 35 yesterday. At 75, which I'm almost there, I wonder where life went. Did it just pass me by? Think about that. You say, man, I'm young. I got all these years. Man, the time goes by so slow. I'll tell you what, it'll speed up. It'll speed up. Is that right, Nathan? Yeah? You're not 40 yet, are you? You're close? Well, how old are you? 40. You're 40. Okay, there he is. See? You were 30 yesterday. Yeah. That's how it is. That's how it goes. What is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What's that saying to us? First of all, we need to realize how short life is, and we need to make the best use of it as we can for the Lord. That's what it's saying. We need to have wisdom to use our life for God. Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5 says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. You know what a handbreadth is? It's not a hand span, it's a hand breath. It's from here to here. Okay? Not very long. And mine age as nothing before thee. You see, you compare our 70, possibly 80 years to eternity and to God. My age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Third point, we see from verse 15 that we see a wise alternative. First of all, we see a foolish boast. We see a sober reminder. And then we see a wise alternative. Verse 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord will is the key there, you see. Paul is a good example of this. In 1 Corinthians 4:19, he says, but I will come to you shortly, to the Corinthians, if the Lord will. In 1 Corinthians 16:7, he says, for I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. And then he says to the Romans, Romans 15:32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Apostle Paul knew that his life was in God's hands, and that every year, every month, every week, every day, every hour, every minute was in the Lord's hands, if the Lord will. And we need to have that same concept. So what do we do? What is our wise alternative? Well, first thing we need to do is pray. Pray about our plans. Pray first and then plan. And we should seek wise counsel. Now, you need to be careful when you're seeking wise counsel. I've had so many people come to me seeking counsel about a decision they need to make. Something they're about to do or want to do or thinking about doing. And I have learned something. Not 100% of the time, but frequently, they have come to me, they've already decided what they're going to do. They already know what they want to do. They just want me to agree with them. See, make them feel better about it. Well, that's not the way to go seek counsel. Okay? If you're going to seek counsel, you need to have an open mind about it and really be willing to consider what the wise counsel is that has been given you. So, pray first, then plan, seek counsel. Evaluate your desires. Are they your desires or are they God's desires for your future? Remember, and then also remember that your plans are always subject to God's direction and change. He may radically change your plans. How many of you know that? Huh? Yeah. Experienced that, no doubt. Adoniram Judson planned to go to India as a congregational missionary. He wound up in Burma as a Baptist missionary. Amy Carmichael planned to go to India and convert thousands and preach the gospel to the Indians. She wound up taking care of small children and changing dirty diapers, helping children who otherwise would be castaways. Last February, we had a missions conference, and I believe we were really having some revival. God was really moving in some hearts, and we were doing some business with God. I would have thought some great things would have happened in our church, some things that I envisioned could happen. Wow, I just bet the church building by the end of 2018 was going to be filled up with people. I mean, there's going to be great things happening. It's going to be exciting. Woo! You know what? God had something else in mind. God changed our plans. Now, we might not think that it was all good, and it was hard, certainly. A lot of it was very hard. But at the same time, God was directing our church through all that, as hard as sometimes it was. We need to remember that our plans are always subject to God's direction and God's change. Alex, did you find that out when you were in Mexico or in Guatemala? Amen. I think Jack found that out too, didn't he? Yeah. Amen. It's good to make plans. We need to make plans. We need to make the best plans we can. We need to pray about it. We need to ask God's for God's direction. We need to seek good counsel, godly counsel, all those things. But then we need to remember that God might change our plans. We need to be willing for that, whatever God wants. Is that right? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You see. In verse 16, we see a solemn warning. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. I don't probably need to spend very much time on this point because I think Alex already did. But in Proverbs 27, verse 1, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I think it was last Sunday, I told you about my boasting in Bellingham. And you know what? Boasting about what you're going to do, even if it's something for the Lord, boasting about what you're going to do, and boy, this is going to be great, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. You know what? That's evil. That's what he says. He says it's evil. Why is it evil? Because God hates arrogance and pride. That's why. He hates it. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate, the Lord says. Pride originated with the devil, as we know. The proud Pharisees were rebuked by Jesus far more sternly than anyone else. Bragging and rejoicing about what you're going to do or what you're going to accomplish is evil. There's a solemn warning there. And then in verse 17, we see a sinful omission. A sinful omission. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, we've applied that verse in many, many different areas regarding sins of omission, as we could. But I want you to notice that the verse starts out with the word therefore. That means, of course, that it's dependent upon what has already been said. It's kind of a conclusion of what has already been said. What has already been said? Well, the businessmen were bragging about what they were going to do. They were going to do this and that. They had these great plans. But wait a minute. They left God out. They left doing good out. And so he says here, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What are you going to do in 2019? Are you going to do good? Is that in your plans to do good in 2019? I hope that is included in your plans. Because that's the context of this verse. You know what it is that's good to do, don't you? You've heard plenty of preaching. You've read it in the Bible. You know what's right to do. I'm not talking to a bunch of brand new Christians that are ignorant about what is right to do. I'm talking to people who've been saved for a long time, and we all know what's right to do. Is that right? Amen? Amen. You don't need to be boasting when you say that. It's just true, okay? It's just a fact. So I'm going to talk to you about that. You know it's good to show kindness to someone who is hurting, don't you? You know it's good to read your Bible and pray every day. You know it's good to be faithful to church. You know it's good to share the gospel with someone. You know it's good to give generously to God's work and to missions. You know it's good to have a good attitude. You know it's good to be long-suffering, to endure hard trials when they come. Kids, you know it's good to obey your parents. You don't need to be told that again. You already know that. Now it's up to you to do it. You know it's good to parents, to you know, it's good to teach and raise up godly children. Husbands and wives, you know that it's good to treat your spouse with love and respect. And as Christians, we know it's good to be salt and light in a sinful and dark world. It isn't the thing you do. It's a thing you leave undone, which gives you a bit of heartache at the setting of the sun. The tender word forgotten, the letter you did not write, the flower you might have sent, are your haunting ghosts tonight. The stone you might have lifted out of a brother's way, the bit of heartsome counsel you were hurried too much to say, the loving touch of the hand, the gentle, winsome tone that you had no time or thought for, with troubles enough of your own. The little acts of kindness so easily out of mind, those chances to be helpful which everyone may find. No, it's not the things you do, it's the things you leave undone, which gives you the bit of heartache at the setting of the sun. Make plans in 2019 to do some good, the good that you already know to do. Because if you don't, it is sin. The Bible is clear on that. And do good according to God's will, not your own will, not your own desires, not your own goals, not your own plans. It's what God desires for you and what God plans for you. That's what needs to happen in 2019. I hope you'll resolve to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time, this evening, this morning, this afternoon. We pray, Father, that you would bless the invitation time. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be determined in 2019 to do what we know is right to do, to be obedient to you in every area of our lives. The small things, as Alex said, to stay small in our own eyes, that you can use us, to make plans according to your will and not our own, to dream dreams, your dreams, and not our own dreams, to set goals, but not our goals, your goals, to think about the successes, but your successes, not our successes. Bless this invitation now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.